Father, how can we repay you for your kindness, for your love, for your grace and your mercy? Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement you gave us. Thank you, Lord, when we are down, you lift us up. When we fall, you make us rise again. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us when it feels like the whole world is against us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that today you will speak to us your word. You sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all our distractions. Let that be our testimony today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Okay, why don't you go around, welcome 2-3 people to church, and come back to your seats. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well. Yes, sit down, please. Okay. Okay. Before I start sharing today, I want us to go straight to our memory verse for the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. All right. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wow. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Okay. So this is a good verse. What do you think? It's a verse that is warning us that the moment you think you are strong is your weakest moment. Do you see? The Bible says pride goes before a fall. So we are being admonished that you should be careful when you think you stand. You should be careful because there is a certain, you know, recklessness that goes with thinking you're okay. It goes with thinking you are strong. It makes you drop your guard or sack your guards, you know, and you start to engage in things that ultimately lead to your downfall. Hallelujah. And so I think that the Lord is encouraging us this morning to be careful. Amen. That we must be on guard at all times and to be watchful at all times, because our adversary indeed, as a roaring lion, the Bible says he goes round seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. One of the characteristics of the devil is that he goes to and fro. According to Job chapter 1, where the Bible says the sons of God had gathered together, and it says the devil came with them also. And when God asked him, where have you been? Or what have you been up to? The Bible says he answered in verse 7, Job chapter 1 and verse 7, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, this is a very important verse for understanding the nature of the devil's work and the devil's plans and the devil's activities concerning God's people. Hallelujah. Which is that the devil does not give up. Amen. Now, when he goes to and fro means you go to. You see, so I go to this place, right? And then I go from this place. Fro means from, right? So I go from this place, right? So when you go to this place and you come from that place, you pass this pulpit twice. Do you see what I'm saying? So maybe as I'm going this way, this pulpit is not available. Do you understand? But the reason why I'm going to come, why do you think he comes back? Do you understand? Why does he come back? Because there might be a chance. There might be a chance. There was not a chance before. There was not a chance last week when he passed by. But maybe this week is a weaker week. You see what I'm saying? Maybe this week things have changed. The dynamics have changed a little bit. Something is happening this week that wasn't happening last week. A situation is developing this week that wasn't there last week. And so someone who thought they were strong last week actually is very weak this week. Do you understand? That is why he goes to and he goes from. Just checking out. Do you understand? And then he says he walks up and he walks down. You know? So he walks up that same road and then he walks down that same road. That is why the Bible is admonishing us today that let him who thinks he stands take heed. Do you understand? Because surviving it last week doesn't mean you survive it this week. Last week's victories are for last week. Do you understand? The Bible says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means each day has its evils. And the evils are not the same. And they do not have the same strength. Hallelujah. So, what didn't work last week just might work this week. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What didn't work last week just might work this week. That is why the devil continues to tempt people. The devil continues to tempt people. When the devil had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Bible says he gave him three temptations. Now, why did he stop after the first one failed? You know, but he gave him three temptations, gave him one, and he passed. Then he gave him another one, and he passed. Then he gave him a third one. Then the Bible says he left him for a season. That means he pressed pause. Do you understand? He pressed pause, right? Now, if you're playing a system or any of these things and you hit pause, you see that the lights don't go off. Pause doesn't kill it. Pause just makes it rest. And sometimes when you're listening, you can hear the hissing sound to know that this thing is not off. There's no sound coming out of it, but don't make a mistake. It's not off. It's not over. The sound is not too far away. It's just a button away and everything will return. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you fight a battle, that's why the Bible says, haven't done all to stand. Do you see? Haven't done all to stand. That means after you have done everything, after you have finished fighting, he says you better keep standing. You must keep standing. When you win a battle, you must keep standing. When you win a battle over depression, you must keep standing. When you win a battle over fornication, you must keep standing. When you win a battle over drunkenness, you must keep standing. Whatever battles you fight and win, you must not go from the battle and just drop your guard and just relax and be sleeping, because that's where your fall actually begins. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this is a great encouragement for us this morning. I really love the verse, and I hope that it is a blessing to you also. Amen. That if you think you are standing, take heed lest you fall. If you think you are strong, be careful lest you fall. If you think you're doing well, take heed lest you fail. Hallelujah. But God will strengthen us in the name of Jesus for every fight that is ahead of us and every fight that is before us in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. All right. Now let me continue into my message this morning. Today I want to preach to you about loyalty. Amen. I want to share with you a little bit about loyalty. Why loyalty is important. Amen. Why loyalty is important. Amen. Everybody likes loyalty these days. From airlines to gyms to restaurants. Everybody has a loyalty card. Everybody has some loyalty rewards or some kind of rewards program that they give to people who repeat their custom. Do you see? I mean, it's amazing. You go to, the unlikeliest of places. You know, there are some things you don't do always. You just do one time. You see? And it's quite surprising. Like one time I went to buy some food somewhere, and then I had made up my mind that to start with, it was a mistake. That this was not the right thing to eat. Then to my surprise, as I'm walking out of the place, they're offering me, do I want to sign up for their loyalty bonus or loyalty something so they can be sending me emails and be giving me special deals? And I'm just thinking, you guys don't know that. Hallelujah. Yeah. But everybody wants loyalty. Everybody wants loyalty. And I'm starting to see more and more that everybody wants loyalty because the world was not designed to run without it. Do you understand? That things, when things are working as they should, loyalty is one of the strong elements that must be cultivated to keep things in shape and to keep them running as they should. Hallelujah. You need loyalty in a family. You need loyalty in a marital situation. You need loyalty in a church. You need loyalty in a business. Hallelujah. Nothing gets bigger without loyalty. Nothing actually grows without loyalty. See, loyalty means things staying the same and reliable and faithful. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even your body doesn't grow without the parts being loyal. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Every part of your body, you need to be able to count on your body parts to function in the same way every day for you to be healthy. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you sleep like that, then you decide to wake up. You open your eyes and you expect them to be loyal to you and to do what eyes do. Isn't it? Which is to do what? To see. You expect to open your eyes and in spite of what happened yesterday, in spite of anything that happened, in spite of all the things you saw yesterday. You get it? In spite of everything you saw yesterday, you open your eyes and you think, you know, today is a new day. You see? And you're actually thinking that it doesn't matter that you saw yesterday. What matters is you need to see today. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And when you open your eyes, you know, like sometimes when, you know, you have an eye infection or something like that, even with an infection, you still open them and you expect them to see. Yeah. And sometimes when your eyes have, you know, sometimes there's some secretions and the secretions have crusted and it's like the eyelids have kissed each other and have decided to stay closed. Yeah, that's when you see people prying their eyes open. It's like you owe it to me to see, and you must see. Hallelujah. So you can see that even your body was not designed to function without loyalty. The church is called the body of Christ, which means that the church, just like your body, requires loyalty to function correctly. Amen. The church was not designed to function without loyalty. Loyalty is not some kind of doctrine or something that churches that don't want to lose their members or something, you know, preach. No. It is just an intrinsic part of a body. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Right? So, why is loyalty important? Number one, loyalty is the principal qualification for every minister or servant, or indeed anyone who is a steward of anything. Hallelujah. Anyone to whom anything has been committed, anyone to whom anything is given. When something is given to you, the next thing that is expected of you is loyalty. Hallelujah. Anyone who commits anything to you, anything at all to you, they expect loyalty from you without even telling you that's what they expect. Hallelujah. If you get on a train, you expect loyalty from the driver. You see, if you sit in an Uber taxi or something like that, you expect him to take you where you said you're going, isn't it? You don't expect him to go shopping now that you're in the back of the car, or to go down the road, to go in some other place altogether. That's not what you expect. Hallelujah. So anyone who serves, anyone who does anything for anyone, is required to be loyal, whether it is stated or not. Amen. Amen. If you work in a restaurant and you serve food to people, they expect you to be loyal, isn't it? Yeah. That when you bring a menu card and I'm looking at the things and I choose number 3, you see, which is the beef grilled and topped with mushrooms, you know, and onions, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not expecting that you bring something else, isn't it? You bring chicken topped with bean sprouts, fried bean sprouts, because they look like onions. What do you think? Tori, do you understand what I'm sharing today? Yeah. That when you get behind there in the restaurant, you see, the part of the restaurant where the patrons don't see, and all the people who have ordered the food can't see what is going on behind the scenes. It's like behind there somewhere. We can't see what is going on there, but we expect that you'll be loyal to us, that you'll be faithful, that you will serve us what you said you will serve us, that we can count on you, that we don't have to come to the back to spy on you to see if you're using real onions or plastic onions. What do you think? Do you understand? Yeah. Where there is no loyalty, a lot of spy work and surveillance is necessary. Where you can't trust people, where there is no loyalty, you have to engage a lot of cameras. You have to get... See, all these surveillance cameras is because of the absence of loyalty. It's because you can't trust people. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't trust people. The other day, someone was telling me about a shop and how people would take clothes into the changing rooms and fit them in their bags and different parts of their body and walk out. I hear they wear them under their clothes So the person goes in slim, comes out fat. Hey. You see the thing? Yeah. The person goes in a size 6 and comes out size 14. Yeah. He has grown. Or she has grown, you know. And some actually go in and come out pregnant. You see, the person is in with a flat tummy and comes out about 9 months pregnant. Just walking like that and just going out. And you even feel intimidated because you can't check to see if it's a real pregnancy or not. Hallelujah. But it's the kind of world we live in today. It is a world that is dying for loyalty. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So everyone, it is the principal requirement. Before you do anything with anyone, just check their loyalty status. Hallelujah. But you see, often we are carried away by people's skills and people's gifts. You see, loyalty is a character thing. Loyalty speaks to the substance in a person, what the person is made of. Do you understand? That's different from what the person can do. Do you understand? That's different from how the person appears. It's different from how the person sounds. But often we choose people and relate with people based on what they are telling us. Do you understand? Based on how they sound, based on how they look and present, and based on what they can do. And many times that throws us straight into the hands of the enemy because we are disregarding a very important element that must not be disregarded when you're dealing with people. Hallelujah. You need to check on the person's loyalty status. Say loyalty status.
Loyalty status.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to check and see if this person is loyal. The Bible says it is required in stewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe we can start from verse 1. Okay? Now, it says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He says, consider us to be ministers of Christ or servants of Christ and therefore stewards of the mysteries of God. That means what God... See, now, this context is like a preacher's contest. You see what I'm saying? And he's saying that consider us to be ministers of Christ and therefore we are stewards of the mysteries of God. That means the things we teach. Hallelujah. I'm a steward of what I'm sharing with you. I don't own it. Do you understand? God has given it and I'm supposed to share it. Isn't it? Right. So stewards of the mysteries of God. Then the next thing. Now, once you accept that you are a steward, whatever you have, you're a custodian of it and you're a steward of it. Then he says, moreover, all right, moreover, it is required, that means moreover, that means extra to that, isn't it? So we are ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Then extra to that, it is required in stewards. Do you understand? Yeah. That a man be found faithful. Now, this is required in stewards in general, not just stewards of the mysteries of God. Are you following what I'm saying? So what he was saying is that, he said, consider us to be ministers of God and stewards of God's mysteries and God's things. Now, one thing you must know about stewards is that they are required to be faithful. Hallelujah. I think you understand it. It says it is required in stewards. So it's not a church thing. It's a steward thing. It's more about being a steward that once something is committed to you, it is required that you are faithful. Yeah. So if you join the choir, it's been committed to you. We are counting on you because it's because you sing that I don't sing. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's because I know you will sing that I'm not singing. How many of you came to church here today with a sermon in your pocket to preach?
Nobody.
Did you bring, Bubu, did you bring a sermon? You didn't? Tori, did you bring a sermon? You didn't bring a sermon? Ajua, did you bring a sermon? So, where were you expecting the sermon to come from? Huh? Me? Yeah. You're expecting me to bring a sermon, isn't it? And because you're expecting me to bring a sermon, you conveniently did not bring a sermon. And you don't regret it. Yeah, you don't even feel bad about it. Yeah. But next time, do. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So once you are the steward who has been committed with whatever it is, whether it's the music, yours is to play the instruments, we have a right to expect you to be there. We have a right to expect you because you play, we didn't learn how to play. Boo-boo, because of you, I don't play the bass because I know you are there. Do you understand? Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So, it is required in stewards. It says, that is the only thing that a steward is required to have. That is that they must be faithful. They must be loyal. They must be reliable. Hallelujah. Amen. Choose faithful people, not gifted people. Do you understand? Not skilled people. Choose faithful people. Develop an eye for faithful people, reliable people, constant people. Someone who says, I'll come and he comes. Do you understand? Develop an eye for such people. And when you see such people, esteem them as being very valuable. Amen. Esteem them as being very valuable because they have met the basic requirement. Because they have met that requirement, because they possess that quality of faithfulness, you can commit anything to them. Do you understand? If you are choosing a beloved, you must choose someone who is faithful. Do you understand? When that person passes the faithfulness test, you can take your hat from your chest and place it in their hands. Yeah, you just remove it. Just remove your hat from your chest, just yes, and then give it to them to keep. Yeah, then you can operate on batteries. Okay, yeah. One of the problems in the world today is people remove their hats from their chest and they just commit it to an unfaithful person. That leads to heartbreaks, heartaches, and so many difficulties. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So, the first reason why we need loyalty is what? It is the principal requirement. Look for that first. Principal requirement. You know, one person was attending an interview recently somewhere. It was on an island, you know, where people don't often go to look for jobs. So this person was looking for the job on the island, in fact, specifically Hawaii. And the interviewer was talking to him, and as he talked with the different people and so on, one of the things he was telling me, he said the people they seem to be looking for this element of whether they can trust you to remain on the island. Yeah, because one of the common things is that people come there and they leave. Yeah, people come there and they leave. People come there all the time and they leave. So the whole interview and talking to the person, it's not about even whether you can do the job. Because, you know, skills are acquired. Do you understand? Skills are acquired. You can train someone to do things. Do you see? But loyalty is a character thing. You can't put it in someone if it's not there. They have to develop it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't put loyalty into someone the way you just put typing or programming or something like that into someone's life. Hallelujah. So, it is the principal requirement. I see you being loyal in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number two, reason why we need loyalty is to fight the fifth column. Why we need loyalty, or why loyalty is important, is to fight the fifth column. What is the fifth column? The fifth column comes from a certain story, right? There's a story of a general, right, who was surrounded, or who surrounded a large city with the aim of conquering it. And this city was heavily fortified with a high and imposing wall and gate. The army general surrounded the city in readiness to attack. Then one of the friends of the general came along and asked him, "Sir, how do you think you're going to overcome the defenses of this city? No one in recent history has been able to conquer this great city." The army general smiled and said, "It is my fifth column. I'm depending on them to do the trick." The general's friend was very interested and asked, "What is the fifth column? I thought you had only four columns." The general replied, "I do have a fifth column." "Oh, I see. Is it a special commando unit? Are they airborne paratroopers?" the man asked. The general laughed. "No, it is none of these. My fifth column consists of my spies, agents, and friends and supporters who are already within the city. You just wait. They will open those big gates from within and my armies will rush in. This is the only way the enemy can destroy a successful and powerful ministry that is doing all the right things." Amen. Amen. The fifth column describes the enemy within. Hallelujah. It describes the enemy within. Do you know that the primary cause of death, point at which your human body ceases to function and dies, is when something inside you betrays you? Is it not true? When your kidneys decide to shut down on you. Kidneys that have been around since you were born. The only kidneys you've ever known and come to trust and believe in. Kidneys that you have spoken so well about suddenly wake up one day and they start to shut down on you. Even when the action, like this morning I just read that some people were shot in some nightclub or something like that I think last night or so, right? Even when the action is generated or initiated from the outside, you see, the primary attack is to cause something inside to fail. Do you understand? In other words, you keep walking and you keep working and you keep functioning so long as nothing inside fails. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why caning people doesn't kill them. Because it's an action initiated on the outside. It causes a lot of pain to the body, but it doesn't cause anything inside to fail. Do you understand? Yeah. So, you see the person after the caning, some crying and so on, and they continue to move on in life. But then you see someone who hasn't experienced any such thing from the outside, but just walking by himself, his heart begins to fail. And on his own, behind his desk, without being touched by anyone, he just dies. He ceases to exist because something inside has betrayed him. That is the fifth column. Are you understanding the message? The fifth column is when one of our own, and that is what happens in churches, especially in talking about loyalty as it pertains to churches, you find out that churches fail not from anything external. In spite of all the devil's attacks and works against a church and so on, a church continues to stand until individuals who already belong to the church lend themselves to the devil and become agents working for him, but from within. See, the general said, my fifth column is already inside. There are people who are living in the city pretending to be citizens, but whose allegiance is to me outside the city. There are people who are going up and down, and when I'm ready to attack, I'll give them the signal and they will open the gates for me. They will open the gates and I will come in. Hallelujah. Even in your Christian life, you will find out that often the devil cannot do much with your life unless you open the gate to him. Excuse me. That is why the scripture says, neither give place to the devil. Do you understand? Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has no part in me. Right? John chapter 14 and verse 30. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world is coming, but he has no part in me. He just has, there's nothing. No one from within is opening the gates to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is one of the reasons why you need to watch your thoughts. And you need to watch the things that flood your mind all the time. Because some of those things will open the door for the enemy to now come in and attack you. Hallelujah. Especially with attacks like depression. And, you know, things that we feel so helpless against. Things that are so engaging emotionally that we feel totally helpless. You need to watch out because it starts from within. It starts from the way you are thinking and thoughts and ideas that are being suggested to you until you buy into it. And buying into it is like opening the gate. Then when you open the gate, all kinds of demons and evil spirits can enter your life and really change your life. Are you understanding the word of God? Hallelujah. Right. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. He has no agent in me. He has no representative in me. Hallelujah. The prince of this world cometh. It's like a helicopter is coming and there's nowhere to land. Do you understand? It's like someone is knocking on the door and there's no representative inside to open the gate for them. You think about all these airlines and so on that fly up and down. They always have an agent in the city. Do you understand? They always have someone. They have someone who works for them. Every airline has someone in the city. Even if the airline belongs, like you take KLM that comes from Holland. and they fly from Holland into the States, into every airport where they fly, they have an agent, someone who belongs there but who works for them. And through that person, they are able to come and land their jumbo jet, I tell you, because of that person. Are you following what I'm saying? The devil would like to land a jumbo jet in your life, but he needs an agent. He needs someone to help him. Hallelujah. He would like to land a jumbo jet in the church, but he needs someone in the church to help him. Hallelujah. Nothing destroys a church faster than the behavior of its members. Yeah. The behavior of its members, the behavior of its pastors, the behavior of its shepherds, its leaders. That is what sinks a church. Hallelujah. If you have people working against the church from within, it doesn't matter how much you pray. No, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much of anything else you do. Churches are scattered. Sometimes you see people quarreling in a church. Two people cannot get along in a church. You know, difficulties from members until the church splits. People taking sides. People joining factions. You know, political groups in the church. You know, we are the ones who support this person. We are the ones who support that person. Especially now that we are getting into a Trump-Clinton era. Yeah. You see people talking about Donald Trump as though they are classmates. Or they grew up together. It's like they know everything about Trump. You know? They know everything about Trump. They know everything about his mind, his intentions. And you know, sometimes I hear people talk and argue about this. It's a man. Do you even know him? Hallelujah. Are you understanding why loyalty is important? So what is the first reason? Number one is what? And number two? To fight the fifth column. And number three is, the third reason why loyalty is important is for the love of God to fill the church. For the love of God to fill their church. Amen. Now, why is love in the church important? Love in the church is important because Jesus said that is the only true signboard of a church. That is love. John chapter 13 and verse 35. John chapter 13 and verse 35. The scripture says, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, this is the only true signboard of a church. Amen. Amen. This is the only true test of you having found the right group. Amen. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. All men, all types of people. This is the one thing that all people everywhere respond to. This is the only sign that everyone, every human being can read. Amen. Amen. See, love is the only thing that all human beings everywhere can feel and understand. Amen. Even dogs can feel it when they are loved. Yeah. When a dog feels loved, it knows. And when it doesn't feel loved also, it knows. Isn't it? Yeah. See, where I was raised, we used to have all these dogs, some of them in the streets, you're not sure who their owners are, just They are called area dogs. Yeah, it's just dogs that belong to the neighborhood. Okay. And they're just generally each one contributing to help watch the area. You know, now one of the things those dogs were sensitive to was who likes them and who doesn't like them. And they know it. So you see, as you are coming, you see the dog is just, he's actually moving away. And if you were to sort of bend over, I don't know who taught all those dogs that trick, but if you just lean over like that, to just, if you just did like you're going to pick up something from the ground or something, the dog just takes off. All dogs where I was raised know that trick. I don't know how they learned it. Maybe they teach them in school, dog school or something. But every dog there knows it. You just do this and the dog will just take to his heels. But not so with some of the dogs around here, like the ones in my neighborhood. I mean, they don't understand this. They don't understand it. And you see, the other day I was at the airport and this dog was just all over me. I said, how do you even know that I like what you're doing? You see. And I didn't like it. Well, I like dogs, but I don't like them licking me. And, you know, especially as I'm traveling somewhere. You get it. Yeah. I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon thinking there's something on my hands. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So even dogs can feel it when they are loved. And Jesus was saying that this is what all men, this is not an African thing. Do you understand? If you want to have a church that all men can belong to, he said, this is the thing that all men respond to. This is what you must have in your church, which is love. Love is the thing that all men respond to. Amen. There are other things you have in churches, but not all men respond to them. For example, if you have loud music, it's great for some people, but some people don't like churches with loud music. Yeah, some people don't like churches with loud music. If you have a guitar, you know, that is rocking and worship, praise and worship time, and then you go in there. It's good for some men, but not all men. Yeah, some people are going to say, listen, look, we went to church, not a nightclub. Some people will not understand that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then similarly, if you have a church where you just sing slow, cool songs, you just sing only hymns, you know, it's great for some people. Some people would love such a church, but that's not for everybody, isn't it? Yeah, especially a lot of young people, they don't know hymns. They don't know hymns. They don't know how to sing first stanza. They don't even know what a stanza is. Do you know what a stanza is? Huh? It's like what? It's like a paragraph in a poem. Yeah. You see, it has to be from a poem. Yeah. But not the way, when I heard stanza, I hadn't even heard poem. Yeah. You would go to church and they would announce the song. And then they would say, we're singing the first and last stanzas only. Yeah. And we would start the singing the song. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Isn't it? The glories of my Lord and King, the triumphs of his grace or something. You know, and such majestic, magnificent words put together, you know, and you never forgot them. If you sang them over and over again, the words were so deep and they were so powerful, they remained with you. Do you understand? Yeah, but not so for... If you have a church of hymns, you have to kiss Ajwa Babai. She cannot belong to such a place. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see, people put all kinds of things in their churches, but the things in the churches are not for all men. The only thing you can develop in your church which will appeal to all men, regardless of their background, regardless of their age, regardless of their status in life, is what? Love. It says, all men recognize this. If you have love for one another, that one, everyone can belong there. Everyone can belong there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And loyalty is the runway to love. Loyalty is the gateway to love. When we have love in our church, we have loyalty in our church, we can have love dwelling in the church. Hallelujah. There can be a good flow in the church. There can be a good atmosphere in the church. Hallelujah. Sheep drink by still waters. Sheep do not like to go to turbulent waters. Hallelujah. Psalm 23 and verse 2 says, the Lord leadeth me beside still waters. Every good shepherd would lead the sheep by still waters. Sometimes when you watch some of these wildlife videos and you see sometimes the sheep and these animals come to drink, and then to their surprise an alligator has been lurking under the water just spying and just watching and just waiting. And when you just put your mouth in there as you are drinking, trying to quench your thirst, you know. Yeah. Next thing you know, you are lunch. Do you see? So some of the animals also have become clever. And you can see they go to the water and they stand there and they watch. And they watch. And they watch the movement of the water. And when they are sure it's still, then they start to drink from it. Hallelujah. The church is supposed to be a river of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But people like it to be still. Nobody wants to go to a church where there's one scandal after the other. Nobody wants to go to a church where different factions of the church are fighting and bickering, and this group doesn't flow with that group, and that group doesn't work with that group, and there's the other group, they don't flow with anyone, they just flow with newcomers to tell them not to join. Yeah. Because recently someone was telling me that he found out there was someone in their church, actually a group of them, says any new person who joins the church, who associates with those people, doesn't come back to the church. That's one of their ministries. In the church. Their job is to drive away new people. Do you see? Yeah. Because you'll get talked about, you'll get gossiped about. I mean, different things are going to happen to you once you step foot in the church. There is no love in the atmosphere. You don't want to belong there. Nobody cares about you. Nobody visits you. No one calls you. No one is interested in you. No one is interested in your welfare. That is no love. That is not love. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we all must develop loyalty. Amen. So that love can be experienced by people in the church. Decide to become an agent of love in the church. That be determined that you will be an agent of love in the church. That means people will experience love through you. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Instead of coming to church expecting to receive love, come to church planning to give love. Amen. Plan to give love. Plan to be the one that's going to love people. Hallelujah. And he said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hallelujah. All right, how many have you got? Three only. Okay, number four, to have a large and successful ministerial team. To have a large and successful ministerial team. That means we want to have a large team of ministers. Whether they are ministers of song, ministers of drama, ministers of the word of God, the message, you know, whatever they minister, for the team to be large. Amen? For the team to be large, for the team to grow large, we need to have what? Loyalty. Isn't it? Loyalty is the glue that keeps what you have, and then you're able to add more. Amen? Because everyone is limited in what they can do. One person can only do so much. But if you want to keep what that one person is doing and still have another, then you need loyalty. You need to be able to put this here and this will stay while you develop this also and add to it. That is how to have a large ministerial team. Amen. To have a large ministerial team. The next one is to have a mega church. To have a mega church, because when your ministry team grows, when you have more pastors and more shepherds and more people who are serving, then the church is well on its way to becoming a mega church, because then you can also have more branches, isn't it? You can have more branches. One of the things you don't see often in America is churches that have lots of branches. And one of the reasons for that is that people cannot trust anybody. You know, because the churches just break apart. When you give the church to someone, you know, to start a branch, then they are going to change the church's name, to rename it or something, and it becomes their church or their ministry. Hallelujah. And so you have a lot of fragmentation going on, a lot of small churches. But you see, if you look at the world, you see that the world is not breaking things into smaller pieces. The world is making big things become even bigger. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you thought about it? What would make US Airways merge with American Airlines? For what? Think about it. Because US Airways is already large. And American Airlines is also large. So what? They must see something still, something in becoming even larger. What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you, big things achieve more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Big things are able to do more. Large things are more capable. They are able to do more. I mean, it's like you, the difference between you and Ava at the back there. Ava, where are you, Ava? Just wave at me. Okay, Vera, you wave. Vera, you wave. Now I say, okay. You see, now you take Ava. Ava can only do so much compared to her mother, isn't it? Yeah. So even when it comes to human beings, a small human body can only do so much, isn't it? Yeah, a little child cannot even lift a chair, but a bigger person can lift a chair. What do you think? Yeah. So, when it comes to churches and the work of God, the larger you are, the more you can achieve. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? The larger you are, the more you can achieve. I mean, many people would walk into a Catholic church not even knowing who the pastor is. Not caring about, they don't even care about who the father is. I mean, how long the church has been there. I mean, you don't even care about it. It's just called the Catholic Church. This church is a big church. It's a solid church. It's a reliable church. I know that if I walk in there for mass, I know what to expect, and I know I'm going to get it, and that's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see, that's a church that is attracting members, you know, and having opportunities to get people saved just by its name. Yeah. So, I mean, when you get in there, at least the opportunity to be saved is there. There's somebody who has come that you didn't even invite. the person has come to the church. That's different from smaller churches. When you are a small church, you have to go and look for people and try and get them to come. Tell them you're a good church and do all kinds of things. Have red light, blue light, different things to just, you know, flash the lights and so on. Make the church look like a nightclub as much as possible so that they won't feel too much holiness and too much intimidation. That the church must feel like their normal surroundings. But Catholic Church doesn't have to do that. Do you see what I'm saying? So, a large church is a great blessing. Do you understand? A large church is like a large bus. Do you see? And it may move maybe a little slower, but it gets more done when it arrives. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It gets more. When a Greyhound bus comes from Oakland to this place, it brings 55 people. That's different from when Zoe drives a little car from Oakland to come to this place. It brings only 5 people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. So the Greyhound truck, when it comes, arrives, you see when it stops, the people start getting, you start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if our objective is souls, then larger is better. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. Yes. If it is souls we are looking for, then larger is better. Hallelujah. And to achieve that, we need to have loyalty. Then number 6 is to have a long-lasting ministry. Long-lasting ministry. And then number 7, which is the last reason why we must have loyalty, is so that we can reap our full reward. Full reward. Amen. One day we hope to hear those famous words, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful. Not just good, but what? Faithful. Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. That you are good at what you did and faithful at what you did also. Hallelujah. Amen. You're good at what you did and you discharged it faithfully. Amen. Amen. Reliably. Not just that you were good, but that you were reliably good. Hallelujah. Well done, good and faithful servant. Expect to hear that from the Lord. Amen. Expect that one day God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't just work for good servant, because there is no congratulation for a good servant. But there is something for the good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That means you were good and you remained faithful. Hallelujah. While you continue to be good. Amen. So these are 7 reasons why we must have loyalty and why loyalty is important. Amen. What is number 1 quickly? It is the principal requirement of what? Of a servant, okay. What is number 2? To fight the fifth column. Say, I will not be the fifth column. All right. Number 3. For the love of God to fill the church. Number 4. To have a large and successful ministry team. Then number 5. To have a mega church. To have a mega church. Amen. To have a mega church. We are believing God for a mega church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, one of the great things about our church is that our church is large enough Do you see? And small enough at the same time. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is good. That is actually better. Hallelujah. It's better. It's better to be large. Do you understand? But it's better to be a large, small church. Hallelujah. So if you look at us, we're small enough for everyone to know you. We're small enough for everyone to know that you didn't come to church. We're small enough for everyone to know what's going on with you. Hallelujah. But at the same time, we're large enough to be able to serve you. Hallelujah. Because what we can't do for you here, we know what buttons to press to get it done for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's a small, large church. Hallelujah. Yeah, or a very large, small church. Do you understand? Yeah. So the branches are small, large churches. And the church itself is a large, small church. Wow. Hallelujah. That is Lighthouse Chapel. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why it's good to be part of this church. And I love being a member of this church. I really love this church, you know. I think it's a really fine church by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So that's number five. Number six is what? To have a long-lasting ministry. And number seven, so we can reap our full rewards. Amen. So here ends my short preaching this morning. Stand to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close, please. Wow. Are you blessed today?
Yes.
How many are glad you came to church? How many have learned something about loyalty? How many realize loyalty is important? When you think about loyalty in the church, just think about loyalty in your body. Do you understand? Yeah, think about loyalty in your body. Think about what will happen to your body when your liver gives up. Do you understand? Yeah. What will happen to your body when your kidneys give up? When your heart says, you know, it's enough. You know, I've been beating since you were born. 43 years. I've been hiding here. No one has even acknowledged me. You get it? Yeah. No one. I'm just hidden in here. No one even cares about me. Do you understand? And that's the end of the body. Everybody dies when their body turns on them. Hallelujah. Every church dies when the body parts of the church turns on itself. When the church begins to turn on itself, when the members begin to say terrible things about the church, terrible things about the pastor, complain about this, complain about that, you know, instead of working to make it better, instead of working to make it better. Do you understand? Because if you take your body and the body parts, all they are doing is just working. Each one is just working. Do you understand? Your mouth is just admitting all sorts of things into the system. Do you see? Yeah. And your mouth is taking it because the hand is bringing it. And the hand is bringing it because the eye thinks it looks good. So all these things are doing all these things, but they rely on the internal organs, you know, to excrete and to pass out, process and just keep what is good and throw out what is not good and so on. Just keep working to make it better. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you see a healthy person, it doesn't mean that dangerous things didn't get into their body. But the loyalty of the body parts kept working and to make things better. When you see something wrong in your church, you join the fight to make it better because you are part of the body. You don't separate yourself and stand aside and criticize it and talk about it and point fingers at it and draw the attention of others who have not even seen it to it and say, look at it. That's not what a faithful member does. Hallelujah. But you say, you know something, I think I can do something about this. I think I can help this to get better. Hallelujah. If you don't like this choir and the music they sing, one of the things you can do is to join it. Hallelujah. As if you don't make it worse. But usually if you can see such things, it means you can make it better. Usually your eyes are open to see things you can improve. Do you know that? Yeah. You notice things you can do something about. When you see that something is wrong, often it's because you know how to correct such a thing. God has given you grace to see such a thing. Yeah. When you see that some, maybe the places you feel like the arrangement on the stage is not good, it's because God has given you eyes for beautiful arrangements. That's why you can see. Because there are some people who cannot see such things at all. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see the way the whole person, sometimes you see someone, they see you, then they, you know, straighten your shirt and so on, you know. Not everybody has such eyes. Hallelujah. So are you going to use your gift and what you see to improve and to help the work, rather than tear it down and to destroy what God is doing? Hallelujah. Right. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. Just pray to the Lord for a loyal spirit. And say, Lord, I want to be loyal. I want to be faithful. I want you to know you can count on me. Say it. Say, I want you to know you can count on me, Lord. I want you to use me. I want you to use me in the name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. I want you to use me. Give me a faithful spirit. Give me a spirit of loyalty in the name of Jesus. So you can be loyal. You can be faithful in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for sending your word to heal us and reaching out to us in love by showing us the things you have shown us today. We pray, Lord, that we'll be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We pray, Lord, that a spirit of loyalty will be found in us, Lord, that we'll be loyal stewards, stewards at work, stewards at home, stewards in the church, that whatever is committed to us, we can be trusted and be faithful, Lord, to discharge our duties and to do what is expected of us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. As we close the service today, if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you. If you want a new life in Jesus, you want to start afresh in Jesus, you want your sins to be forgiven, and you want to be sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven. I want to pray with you. If there's anybody here like that, just raise up your right hand and let me see it, and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? Is there anyone here like that? Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me and cleanse me and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the